The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
As of right now, I would close Club Dub until we earn the right to have it open.
Wins are hard, right? They're freaking hard.
Oh, my freaking ears.
Defense, you freaking swarm, baby. You swarm all over the place. You fell.
Pocket collapsing again, and there's the sack for Khalil Mack. His first of the year.
Oh, there he is.
Five-man pressure from the Bears. Burrow from the pocket has time to find Higgins, who drops the football, and it's scooped up by Chicago.
Eddie Jackson got a piece of that.
There he is.
Kev, that's a country fumble.
just a little country fumble.
Burrow to look it over on third down and 10. Pressure coming. And down he goes. Sacked by Quinn.
Hey, there he is.
We have 58 with the pick six.
Snap to Burrow. Looking right, throwing right. It's intercepted. Intercepted by Roquan. On his horse, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5. End zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Pick six.
Hey, you might have to play a little offense, baby.
Bears win it 20-17 here at Soldier Field before a packed house, even at 1-1.
All clubbed up, yeah. It was reopened, you know, free admission, so you missed out.
Club Dub down in the locker room.
Club Dub is nice. I was happy to have that back.
Club Dub, this win. Club Dub.
That's just a fun thing.
I don't have a disco in here. I don't have a disco. Well, let's all start dancing.
One, two, three. Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2-6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Where the top of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. We're live in the Hyundai Score Studios. Our show open. Club Dub was open. The Bears are 1-1 in what I think. Is the beginning of Justin Fields forever.
Oh, man, I hope so. I hope you're right about that.
I think.
I'm ready. I'm certainly ready for it. I think a lot of people are. It's a fascinating game to react to as it happened yesterday, and still it's kind of filtering through today because Justin Fields made a whole bunch of mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, and they were right there for you. And Andy Dalton played a better, cleaner version of NFL quarterback than Justin Fields. Something remains true, which is that Justin Fields is way better equipped to be an elite NFL quarterback than Andy Dalton in terms of arm talent, in terms of speed, in terms of...
Yeah, clearly his ceiling is much higher.
Right. That hasn't changed.
Yep.
And there was a ton of good stuff to see from Fields, too. And then it really becomes a decision about whether you think the Bears can still win games while Justin Fields learns. And learns on the field and then in film room during the week. Is he accountable? Is he a good learner? Will he move forward? He certainly seems like that kind of smart, sensible learner. Different, frankly, than the last guy.
Well, the decision's been taken away, though, is the thing. Dalton's hurt. They already made Foles inactive.
So now we'll find out how fast Justin Fields can learn.
Yeah. And my thing is, I'm totally fine with the growing pains and watching them. And yeah, Dalton was better than Justin Fields, period. He was. He was more efficient, was moving the ball, more mistake-free.
Mm-hmm.
And for many people, that is the end-all, be-all. I don't think that they don't have their first-round pick anyway. I don't think there is much tangible difference in being a 9-win team or a 6-win team if you're going to not win anything in the postseason, and Dalton isn't the long-term answer. So play and develop Justin Fields, get those mistakes out of the way early, as long as he can protect himself out there. And now we're going to get to see. We're going to get to start to see what Justin Fields is, what Matt Nagy is with Justin Fields, and start to build towards the future of the Bears. Because if you look around the NFL, it's a young quarterbacks league.
It is.
There are stars everywhere. Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow wasn't great yesterday, but looks really damn good. Kyler Murray. Like, there's so many of them.
Also Kyler Murray.
Did I say him twice?
Yes.
No, he's so third good. We should
That's
say
how good he was.
Yeah, he's the favorite for MVP through 2 weeks. But like, you need to have one of those guys if you're going to be a perennial contender in the NFL, so start to figure it out. But you and Shane both feel badly for Andy Dalton. And I'm curious, like, why? I mean, I'm glad I don't want him to get hurt.
Because here's the thing.
Oh, thank you, Danny.
I'm just saying.
He's going to lose
his bare minimum Parkins over here.
He was going to lose his job eventually, probably by week four, no matter what he did. I suspect he was going to lose his job.
The report came out before the game from Jay Glazer. It's like, yeah, it's not going to be after the bye. It's probably sooner right. than we all think.
So this was all coming. Dude was about to get what was probably going to be his only home game against his former team, and he was pumped for it, and he looked good. He was playing well. He was shutting up some doubters with an opening touchdown drive. He's scampering and scrambling for 10-plus twice, looking for the first time. His game looked as good as his hair, you know, for the first time as a Bear. And this was going to be his moment on a beautiful Sunday at Soldier Field. And Fields was still playing. Like, I was happy that Fields was still going to play a bunch. And this was Andy Dalton's one moment I think he was really going to have. And then he got hurt.
He was moving the ball very well. The offense looked good with Andy Dalton at quarterback. And I just don't want to see him lose out on more opportunities like that to get another job, because he's not going to retire, to get another job after his one-year deal is done with the Bears. And yeah, Justin Fields is the future, and that's great. And Andy Dalton would not have made either of those throws to Allen Robinson. He wouldn't have made the throw to Marquise Goodwin. He wouldn't have made either throw to Darnell Mooney. But he looked good. And what Tanny and I had said in the text thread the other day is it just didn't make any sense to pull Dalton after the scoring drive and open up Fields on that drive in the first quarter or whatever it was. It was the first quarter, right?
The second drive went first into the second quarter.
You ruined the rhythm. You screwed over that rhythm, and Dalton was looking good. Like, I want to see more Justin Fields than I want to see Justin Fields quarterback this team for the next 10 years, but there was no sense in doing what they did yesterday with Fields. And now, like, I don't know if Dalton's going to get another chance.
You know, what Grody was saying, to add on to this, like, Grody felt like Dalton was looking at the end of his career in terms of being a starter. Like, you never know. But he's healthy enough. Helmet, Ryan Fitzpatrick got, like, 6 more chances. He'll probably get more chances.
Listen, if you guys, if someone could guarantee me that Fields was going to start week 4 against Detroit, then I can see some sympathy there for Dalton. But they had said performance and result is going to dictate this. So if Dalton is playing well and the Bears are winning, Fields isn't going to be the starter. The Bears won that game. Dalton was playing well. So just based on their own words, that was going to potentially prolong Justin Fields. And now we're going to get a few game stretch here where we'll see. Does he look totally overmatched, or does he do enough good things either in wins or in losses to suggest that he's learning by doing? And he's going to go out there. And I thought Fields after the game was pretty impressive in how he handled it, how he evaluated himself.
Yeah. Like, I didn't have a chance to hear all of Fields. And I saw quotes thrown around. And I know that listeners, you know, by the time 5 o'clock comes around on a Monday, you've caught some of the stuff, but I'm sure nobody's caught all of the essential stuff.
Let's just hear a little bit from Fields after the game to give you a sense of how the rookie quarterback both felt how he did and about the situation.
I'm most proud of the defense, just the way they bounced back from last week. Of course, you know, they got a lot of heat for last week's game, and, you know, they bounced back. You know, I challenged the scout offense this past week. I was like, yo, we didn't do a good job last week giving our defense a look. So I tried to, you know, go out there this past week, and I tried to, you know, scorch our defense and just really play ball with them. And I was trying to get all the practice team receivers together and, you know, tell them that we need to do better to get our defense better. Am I pleased with how I played? I don't think I'm pleased with how I played at all. You know, I think there's a lot more in me that I have to show. And, you know, I know that's going to come with time. I know it's not going to happen overnight. So I'm just going to keep grinding. And, you know, no matter what happens, I know I'm meant for this. And I'm meant to be here. I think, you know, kind of my path here has been crazy. When I was younger, I never thought I'd be in this position. So I'm here for a reason, and I definitely think that I can play better. And I just think that this is the beginning. So I'm definitely excited for the future and excited to get back to practice on Monday, Tuesday.
Poised. You know what I mean? Like, the actions on the field matter more. He threw a terrible interception. He got duped by the disguised coverage. Great athletic play to jump on the ball that he fumbled that If the Bengals player just falls on it, it's a second turnover.
Uh-huh.
As Shane mentioned, some strong-armed throws, some downfield shots that Dalton isn't making. It's a very different stat line. Forget the offensive pass interference. Forget the questionable one to Mooney. If simply Allen Robinson catches the ball, the game's completely out of reach. They're just running the clock out if they get the ball back. That's a touchdown, and there's no interception, and his passer rating is over 110. Like, it's a game of inches in that regard, and his teammates let him down a little bit too. So I think that if in that alternate universe that isn't that crazy from the one that we saw, right, Robinson catches the ball, and then they're not passing on the next possession,
yeah,
and he doesn't throw the interception, I don't really think there's much debate on whether or not Justin Fields is quote-unquote ready.
Two things. One, during the week, I hope we get to hear from Justin Fields, and I suspect that we will because he'll be getting the bulk of work at practice, even if he's not anointed the starter.
That's the thing, though, guys. That's why Matt Nagy isn't naming him the starter.
Because he doesn't have
the obligation to talk.
I was wondering about that, right? You think that's it?
I think it has to be.
Well, no, I think the veil of secrecy is still the big deal, but maybe you're right. Maybe he doesn't want Fields to talk. Because I want to hear him talk about his mistakes. I want to hear him talk about learning. That's really what I want to hear.
That scheme.
No, that's personnel.
Shut up, you damn Hungarian. That's you, Tanny. I'm calling you a Hungarian.
Yeah, okay.
But you know, I want to make sure that he's a better learner than Mitch. That we talked about that a lot post drafting, and remember we talked with the guy about the learning process and the intellectual testing that went on and all that.
Yeah.
And we're not gonna know until we see it on the field.
Correct.
And we see it get better.
And it's gonna take time, man. Like we saw Justin Fields look skittish and downright bad at times. But it's a fundamental disagreement with some people. Like, some people believe that stuff can ruin him. Other people believe you grow from it. Like,
if that stuff was going to ruin you, then you got no business in this league anyway.
I tend to agree.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's right. I think the things that ruin you in the NFL are if you have 5 offensive coordinators in 6 years. You know, and you've got no continuity. You have no ability to ever master a system because you're always changing terminology. Uh-huh. You're always changing coaches.
Was David Carr bad because he got battered, or was he going to be bad?
Or was he just going to be bad? Right, because Troy Aikman, Peyton Manning, there are plenty of high-profile examples if you want to go way back. Terrible year ones, and then they become Hall of Famers and some of the all-time greats. So you can cherry-pick examples from history to support either argument. I just think if you look around the rest of the league and you see young quarterbacks dominating early, that's the standard I want to hold the Bears to. And so now hopefully, and again, it sucks that it came because of injury, but I wanted it to happen just from day one anyway.
Justin Fields forever.
Here's the thing. I mean, Justin Fields is not the only then rookie quarterback in his first extended period of play to throw one interception and no touchdowns. He's just not. Tanny, can you take my mic for me real quick? I gotta get somebody.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm saying something stupid.
In his first extended look.
Okay.
Sometimes certain rookie quarterbacks.
Who else?
Yeah. So I mean, I didn't play until week 17 of the 2017 season. I was under Matt Nagy then as well.
Yeah.
I was a younger guy then. I wasn't as experienced as I am now, and I had a lot of time under Alex Smith and Matt Nagy and Coach Reed. And in my first game, let alone I was the starter that day, I didn't throw a touchdown. I threw one interception my first game. Granted, I was 22 for 35, with 67% completion percentage, and it was a 78 quarterback rating. But I remember that because I learned so much from that game.
So weird, the phone at Pat Mahomes' house sounds a lot.
Again, I'm here with you guys. And that's the dedication I have for the show. You see my dumbass brother last night? You see Jackson pour water on that poor-ass Ravens fan's head?
I did see that.
What a dumbass, Jackson.
And it's funny, you don't even need to, because it is Pat Mahomes, yeah, and he's a superstar. We don't even need to introduce him as Pat Mahomes. Just the voice is recognizable.
I'm right back there. Shane just went over there, tapped me on the knee. Said,
Pat, it's your time now.
And I came up.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah,
I do a good impression of Shane, I'll tell you that. You don't want to hear it, let me
Yeah,
know.
Pat, your Shane is really good.
You guys
really
like meat? Big meat guy.
Pat does a good impression. I do a good impression of Shane.
Yeah, you do. Pat does a good impression.
Was that Pat doing?
Turned his mic off.
Mahomes turned his own mic off.
That's good.
Yeah, to do the Shane. Wow,
man, this show is wild. Man. Yeah, you guys are fun.
It really surprising. Is wild. Oh man, you mentioned Justin Fields recovering his own fumble.
By the way. Yeah.
I have to admit that everything that Fields does, I think looks good. Like him recovering that fumble, the two superhuman leaps forward off the ground to go lurch forward and get the fumble.
Yeah.
Looking like a human version of Hungry Hungry Hippos, just like getting out there. He looks
confident,
very good doing that.
Swagger, speed.
It's the best leaper after his own fumbles that I've ever seen.
I agree. And again, this is a lot of us. We either try to talk yourself into Mitch Trubisky,
yeah,
or he had that 6-touchdown game against Tampa, or he said, okay, well, he's going to take that leap in the second year in the system, yeah, like Carson Wentz or Jared Goff, right? And looking back, think about that. Looking back, the comps for him were Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, neither of whom you love right now as NFL quarterbacks, right? So, like, this is – it's flimsy. It's mm-hmm. It's fickle. But if you have the dude, you – there are a lot of teams in the NFL that think they have their quarterback for the next decade plus, mm-hmm, and then you figure out the rest of it.
Hey, Pat, you ever recover a fumble on your own? Did that ever happen?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have to because I hold on to the ball. People forget that.
People forget that
I hold on to the ball.
Hey, Pat, are you going out with Carrington Harrison, Danny's former partner at all this season?
Last time I went out with Carrington Harrison, I do a pretty good Carrington impression. I'll do it for you, Danny. Hold on 1 second. He said,
Pat, what's your favorite candy? What's your favorite Halloween candy?
Oh no,
Pat?
The Halloween candy bit. Oh, no.
I didn't have one because I'm not a big candy guy. I like to keep my body's my temple. I've always said that.
Skittles are trash.
Yeah. He's like, what's your favorite Halloween candy?
And I don't have one, Carrington. Is trash.
I don't have one. Where's Ben Heisler? Is what I said. I can't find him.
It's all very inside.
We looked.
Lord. All right, well, Pat, thank you. Let's see if anyone can get through Shane as the bouncer calling in here to Bears Monday, 312-644-6767. More rigorous screening process, but more calls is the goal. And a hilarious, we missed fans, right? But coming up next, hilarious,
so good
moment from Bears fans that Tanny sniped from the broadcast. Next on The Score.
I don't want to tell programmers how to program their sports talk shows in the city of Chicago over the next week, and I don't think I have to. Andy Dalton, Justin Fields. That will be a dominant conversation in the world of sports talk over the next week.
Can't get anything past Kevin Kugler. That's who it was, right?
Yeah. I don't want to tell him how to do it.
Thank you, Danny.
But you should do this.
Yes.
I'm Kevin Kugler. He likes sports talk radio.
Yeah. He's right,
him,
too.
He is. I heard him on with Lawrence Holmes on this very station, I don't know, a year and a half ago, something like that. He was good.
Yeah, Chicago ties, right?
Yes.
He's from somewhere around
here. I don't want to tell programmers how to program their sports talk shows in the city of Chicago.
Yeah, it sounds like you do.
Bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. But
it's a Nebraska guy.
He's maybe a big Cubs fan. He was.
I think he is a Cubs fan because I think he wanted the Cubs gig.
That makes sense.
Baseball gig.
Yeah, it's a good job that our guy Bugshambi.
I think so.
Was able to get
a radio gig.
Yeah,
it's another one. You know what? The best Cubs job to me is occasional fill in for pre and post and fifth inning.
Yeah.
That's the number one job.
I agree. Well, especially because you know you. You also get to work with me with that job. So you know what I mean, right?
Oh, yeah.
This job is part of that. Well, it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
I did not notice this during the broadcast because it has become a staple of the Matt Nagy offense. Now, preserving timeouts is a very important thing for a coach. I always say, though, in the second half, you need your timeouts, maximize possessions, end of the game. Not that you don't want timeouts in the first half, but mm-hmm. if you find yourself in the wrong formation, you can use them a little bit more liberally in the first half. Sometimes you see coaches bring timeouts into halftime as if they roll over into the second half. So I do not get very mad about burning a timeout in the first half. But when you do burn a timeout in the first half, you want to do something productive out of the timeout. Of course, that isn't what happened for the Bears and Matt Nagy.
For the flag, a timeout is called by the Bears to save a penalty. We're back in a moment. Second and seven, and now movement. Everybody pointing at everybody. This will go against the Bears.
A lot of finger pointing.
It is fun, though, Mark.
All right, so it's tough to hear, but Taddy, tell him.
I think we can isolate it here. Yeah, we can.
It is fun, though, Mark.
Nice timeout, Nagy.
Good timeout, Nagy.
Good timeout,
Nagy.
It is fun, though, Mark.
That should go on. If he gets fired and it was ultimately a failure of Matt Nagy as the Bears head coach, that could go on the tombstone.
Oh, it's
good timeout, Nagy, with a false start out of the timeout of the first half.
My favorite is the delay of game out of the timeout. That's still my favorite.
That's tough to do, but it's happened.
Like, but it has happened.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right, we got 2 minutes to talk about this. We need another 35 seconds or 40. We still need some more time. Oh, damn it. I got a penalty.
It is fun, though, Mark.
Oh, man. It's true, though. Oh. It keeps happening. And I don't even know what to say about it anymore. Oh, it's too confusing, right? It's just too confusing of an offense. You got to really – it takes
guess.
3 or 4 years in order to settle in to this offense.
Especially when you change people a lot.
It's like the presidency of Matt Nagy offense. You really got to settle into the job in your first term in the offense. Then you can start mastering it.
Oh, my God.
It's special.
Do you buy that this was Eddie Jackson redemption? He made.
Oh, I mean, I think that Eddie Jackson heard the talk. I think the whole defense did. I thought the forced fumble was a little weak.
It was kind of lucky. It was not a peanut punch as much as it was like an arm tackle that worked in his favor.
You would not have thought that ball. Like, I don't think that forces a fumble on Derrick Henry.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I didn't think that was necessarily a spectacular play, but definitely a spectacular result.
I really loved there was a tackle for loss to set up a 4th and 2 on Joe Mixon that Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, the run blitz.
Blitz, and he got by the wide receiver trying to block him and got back there and did that.
Eddie Jackson tackles for loss are rare, so I think you definitely have to appreciate that when it happens. But honestly, man, the whole defense was – Roquan Smith – was incredible.
Incredible.
He will get paid what Bobby Wagner or Fred Warner got paid. I don't know that he'll get Darius Leonard, who set the market. And, you know, Darius Leonard has had a nine sack season. Darius Leonard has had a 5-interception season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know that he'll do that, but $40 million plus guaranteed over 5 years.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't have an agent right now.
Roquan?
Is Roquan.
Man, I don't know why guys don't pay the 3%. Rookie deals are standardized. I get it. But like Lamar Jackson right now, trying to negotiate an extension with the Ravens without an extension when you're going to have a very complicated negotiation because of your risk as a running quarterback, but you've won an MVP and been to the playoffs and all that. Pay your 3%, man. It's a 9-figure deal.
Well, at a certain point, like this would have been the offseason if I were Roquan, where I would have gotten an agent, because now you're in the season and they could be talking, and while you're healthy and performing, this could be one of those in-season things that you do hear about from time to time. No chance that's going to happen, I would say.
I would be very surprised if that happened. Yeah, but like I said, it's not that tough of a – Fred Warner and Bobby Wagner, I think, are 2 and 3 for inside backers. Darius Leonard is 1, but kind of on an island all on his own in terms of early career productivity.
God, Bobby Wagner's so good.
Still, too, by the way.
I know.
He had, what did he finish with yesterday? He had like 15 tackles or
something.
But,
you know,
yesterday.
I gotta go back and watch like the condensed version of that and see how Tennessee came back and did what they did. Because, I mean, on the strength of run game, but that's a fourth quarter and overtime win.
Yeah, that game was a screaming over for us gamblers out there. Like, at the beginning of the game, there were some short field goals, but they were driving right down the field. There was a ton of yardage in that game. Like, neither defense is very good at all, but there were a lot of plays run. And so Bobby Wagner piled up a lot of
tackles. That's a great question. Remember when Roquan sat out training camp as a rookie?
Yes.
Because there was some odd
It was about deferred It was about offset contract language.
Right. And so was that an agent issue then, and then he fired his agent, just hasn't bothered to get another one at this point?
It's possible. You should get an agent, man. It is helpful.
You know, a texter says, Robert Quinn, waste of money getting a dumb late hit penalty on Burrow. That was a bad penalty. Absolutely, that's a bad penalty. But Quinn had a sack. He also had a tackle for loss on Joe Mixon at one point. Robert Quinn lived for me yesterday. I saw that he was alive, and I appreciated that.
Yeah, it's the same thing as the Jimmy Graham conversation. Like, Jimmy Graham's contract was weird, and it was surprising they brought him back, but he was better than I expected last year. Robert Quinn was awful last season and looks like a huge waste of money, but through the first two games, Robert Quinn's earning his money. Like, it's not, he's a little overpaid, but the Bears need... Yesterday's blueprint is what you hope the defense can still be. They've got a really young secondary, but the pass rush made it so that Joe Burrow was making all sorts of mistakes. And that was a dominant game from the front seven, and they didn't have Mario Edwards and they didn't have Eddie Goldman. Like, in theory, you get even more reinforcements back there, and it's going to really help your secondary.
Yeah, they went six deep on the defensive line. Marcus Hunt got in the game,
yeah,
for three snaps. And as I had said earlier, at nine quarterback pressures from eight different people, Ryan Pace can draft D linemen, man. He can.
Yeah, the Bengals had four turnovers. So if you want to nitpick a Robert Quinn penalty, fine. It wasn't a perfect game, but against a team that scored 27 the week before against the Vikings with a number one pick at quarterback, with the top week one leading rusher, with a very good wide receiver trio in Boyd, Higgins, and Jamar Chase. And how bad the defense was in week one, that is an A+ defensive game. I don't know how you could really complain about that.
All right, so there's Quinn's penalty. There's the taunting penalty. Was that on Gibson?
Yeah.
The taunting penalty? Because he clapped over the wide receiver's head?
The Gibson one was so frustrating because the rule is so dumb, but they've shared the video, like the points of emphasis video.
I know.
And that is like the two examples that they give you, is that you can clap after a big play, but you can't clap in someone's face.
Okay, so as stupid as it is, you have to know.
Like, it's a letter of the law thing.
All right, what about Von Bell's? Von Bell's on against the quarterback.
Wait, hold on. Can I back up a little bit? Speaks, you think the taunting thing is stupid, right?
Yes.
So it's stupid to clap in someone's face, but it's cool to clap in another direction? Is that, or no, you're saying you should still be able to clap in somebody's face?
Of course.
Okay, so why can't Tim Anderson throw the bat at the Royals dugout? Flip the bat towards the Royals dugout.
Mm-hmm. Checkmate.
No, that's not a checkmate. Those are different sports and different situations.
Is it not taunting toward the other team?
What, to throw? No,
to bat flip toward the Royals dugout?
Here we go, Jim.
I also never said that. I never once said that I had a problem with it. I said that was the standard that the players have clearly decided that they have a problem with.
Oh.
If you remember the conversation.
Okay, counselor.
Like when the Cubs got pissed off because, what's his name, Amir Garrett was doing stuff towards their dugout, the MLB players as a unified group have decided you can't do it towards the dugout.
Because they're sensitive. Yeah. The sport is stupid.
And that's just what they do.
Okay.
The NFL has long ago decided, taunt me, I taunt you, we're all good. This is the NFL as an entity deciding that taunting is bad.
All right, Speaks, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought I had you in a little bit more of a gotcha moment than I did. But I still think it was a 50-50 gotcha moment.
No.
It could have been Danny.
I was saying what the players thought. All I ever said about the baseball thing is what the players have decided.
All right, I got a softball.
So once you know this.
He talked his way out of that one in pretty deft fashion, I would say. But I think it's also your sensibilities of trash talk and football. Of course, it's the sport of barbarians.
The entire
trash
sport.
Trash talk and baseball, I can't accept it. It's the sport of kicks.
It is a slow walk that baseball as a society and the players have made to decide what's okay.
Yeah.
And they're still there walking. Football decided like 20 years ago, we don't care.
Yeah, and football's right.
Yes, but now the league is deciding. Because what's the idea here? Think of the children. Is that the idea?
Yeah, the idea is the competition committee got together. It's a bunch of people appointed by Roger Goodell. There's a video that's gone around the internet of John Mara, the owner of the Giants, talking about it. Basically, it strikes me as the old, rich, white billionaire owners don't like when the young black millionaires who they've paid taunt their game and, you know, desecrate on their field in the name of sportsmanship. So they penalize it. But what they don't realize is they're cutting off their nose to spite their face because their league was largely built on fans falling for big personality athletes.
Who,
right? I think Lawrence Taylor helped the Giants franchise a time or two along the way become relevant for the Mara family.
Do you know how much I loved Billy White Shoes Johnson when I was a kid?
Deion Sanders was my favorite football player. Like, it was the type of, you know, T.O., Randy Moss. We just had Warren Sapp on the show. Warren Sapp, I know it was pregame, he would skip through the opposing team's pregame warmups.
I heard Warren Sapp, he was still sensitive about that. He doesn't think he did anything wrong there, and he hates that people still think he did.
I don't think he did anything
wrong. I know,
wrong.
But he muscled up on you.
Yes, he
because he thought you were going all Tony Dungy on him.
But the sport is better because of it. So, yeah, it's silly.
It's ridiculous.
But tell me the rules, I can play the game, right? That's an adage as old as time. And Tashaun Gibson's was really dumb because it was exactly what you can't do.
Mm.
And for him, coming off of last week where he didn't touch the receiver when he was down on the field because he thought it was college football for some reason, and he gets up and he runs into the end zone, it's like you can't be making mental errors week after week after week when you're a veteran safety in the NFL.
By the way, there was one brutally embarrassing moment on in the Bears' secondary on the Jamar Chase touchdown that the late move forced Eddie Jackson and was it Shelley or Vildor to collide and they both
Vildor.
Went down.
Yeah,
that was Vildor tough. And EJ straight up Three Stooges action on that.
That was tough. And an excellent point by the texter, because often when people come in and like they'll, oh, won't you please think of the children, no trash talking, I'll say, you know, hi, what about Michael Jordan? You like him? Super Bowl shuffle. Your guy Roy Wood put out a nice thread on Twitter the other day.
I know.
They released a diss track during the season coming off a loss and then never lost again.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of trash talk. It makes sports better. It makes it more fun. Shane, how you feeling about Kevin on the road? Let's see if
we got a call. Got through Shane.
We got a call who got through Shane.
Mm.
Kevin, you're on the score. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Kevin.
I got through Shane because Sox fans always stick together.
Hey, don't ruin
but
it, man.
But one premise, I'm going to change something. You guys mentioned in this current segment about Roquan Smith being paid. He is going to be paid. My only concern is it won't be by the Bears because as a general manager, you have three jobs on paper. Draft, build a team, manage a salary cap, and unfortunately, Mr. Pace gets an F all 7 years. Next thing, I would love to see Justin Field play. However, our coaching...
Yeah, I just hung up on Kevin
Beasley. You don't have to do that.
Because that was not his point. It was not good. His point on the tight end and the offense and the usage was good. We had talked about it all day. And then he went off on three different tangents, and he couldn't even get to it.
I think you're
Kevin is no longer a welcome caller on the show.
Oh, wow.
Oh. The bouncer around here.
Yeah.
Tough bouncer. What's he lets happening? You into the club, then he throws you out.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's rare that the bouncer goes inside to grab somebody from behind the velvet ropes and toss them out of their ass like that.
You could have clubbed up that call.
Screw you, Kevin.
Oh man. What is he, a softball umpire?
We're kinder. He's upset that I got back at him so quickly with the
really
taunting
no.
conversation.
I'm not upset about it.
Embarrassed.
Yeah, I'm a little embarrassed.
Ashamed. I understand.
Interested.
What do we think we see tonight from... God, look at that guy's hair. Aaron Rodgers. He's throwing for 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns
and
tonight.
Do you know how many people watched the Manning cast last week?
I do.
All right, good. So I had those numbers for you. Well, do you guys?
They're not doing that again, are they?
Shane, Teddy, yeah. You guys?
No.
You don't like it?
It's fine. No. You like it. I won't yuck your yum.
I'll tell you.
Thank you.
I'll tell you how many people watched it. I bet it's a lot less than you think.
I bet it is, too.
Yeah.
Because it's stupid.
I got the numbers on that. Danny knows it. Don't ask him. But you guys, I'll tease that for you.
Ah, yeah. I can't wait.
Cool.
I've always wanted to play John Gruden. This is what John Gruden is saying to Derek Carr in the headset. They're going, no huddle. Eli, they're going, Bronco right tight, shorty flash. I'll let you know. I'll let you know.
Thank you. That was great.
You're a hater. Spend some time with it. What? Is that what you said I was going to say?
Whenever there's no real retort of substance, it's you're branded a hater.
Yep, you're a hater.
The scarlet letter of H.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, hold on a second. You didn't watch, and you said it's dumb and bad.
Well, I asked you what was good about it, and you just sent me to the clips from social media, which were fine. They were not great, but that was the best of the whole broadcast.
Yeah, so if that's what makes it to the internet, buddy, got to up our standards.
It's a different thing. It's not even about the clip. It's just about the hang.
The vibe, babe.
If you're alone, especially, you know, hanging out with some people, watching the game, chatting the chat.
Were you?
Yeah, Shane would love it.
You guys have a big watch party last week?
I was alone.
Haven't I taken enough?
Got him.
Today? Yeah.
Never.
Last week, the Manning cast debuted, and 800,000 people watched it. 13 million, almost 14 million watched Monday Night Football on either ABC or ESPN. 800,000 people watched the Manning cast on the Deuce.
I don't know if it was promoted very well.
I don't know what else they're supposed to do.
Promote it better.
But
that's
also,
fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, that is a big number for ESPN, too, and it is a good number for a secondary...
secondary feed.
And it's the type of thing where... Right, some programming is to get the biggest amount of ratings, and some programming is for the quality to not necessarily to win an Emmy, but like Bill Simmons used to talk about this with, you know, the 30 for 30s. They can first take is cast a wide net, get a big number.
Yeah.
The 30 for 30 is the niche programming to be proud of, sure, and more of like the soul of the network.
Right, but those you can watch at any time. This is nobody's gonna go back and watch Manning cast of a live game.
No, of course. My point is that if this broadcast is going to exist, ESPN, this multi, many times over billion-dollar company,
yeah,
they want it to exist with them. It's a coup within the
football
broadcast.
For sure.
NBC, CBS, Fox all tried to hire Peyton Manning. He chooses ESPN.
Right.
His Peyton's Places show is on ESPN+.
Absolutely. And then all the guests that he brings in are on ESPN and becomes their property to promote and
use. They build their relationship with Eli Manning. They build their relationship with Russell Wilson with Travis Kelce.
This week, the guests are Brett Favre and then Rob Gronkowski. And then Patrick Willis, the former Niners linebacker, and then Pat McAfee. Those are their four guests tonight on the Manning cast.
Shane.
That's going to get me to watch it.
That's good.
100% I'll watch that tonight.
We're going to watch anyway because it's Packers-Lions, and we are NFC North people here.
Always have been, always
long
will
time
be.
No, NFC yeah. North yeah. people here. Yeah. Hey, also, Jose Abreu not in the White Sox lineup tonight.
It's because he's on the Manning cast.
He's their fifth
guest. Guess five. Jose Abreu.
Shane, spend a quarter with it.
I'll watch the whole thing tonight.
I'll be surprised if you don't like it.
I will too. I just like to play contrarian.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think you just said the quiet part out loud. Dump him. Dump him. Dump him.
Hit the 4-hour dump button.
Yeah. Yeah. Erase
the show. The majority of the time, I actually do disagree with you.
No, I know.
But this one, I probably don't.
Yeah. I think you will enjoy it.
That's a pretty good guest for the Manning cast. I'm going to make sure I want to catch Gronk. And I think McAfee's entertaining. And that's a good one late. That he'll bring the energy late because those guys get tired towards the end. So that's smart.
And I mean, last week they had an incredible game.
Yes, they did.
So part of it is, you know, if it is a blowout, it can become more of a talk show.
Right.
If it's fascinating football, they analyze the game. But I thought they were incredible.
I'll watch and see if I can find any use for Eli Manning, who I think is not useful.
I thought he was good last week.
Okay.
Thank you to Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab for the Victory Chicken.
Victory Chicken is back,
that
baby!
That fried chicken is delicious. We're going to Circa for Bears Raiders. Come see us. If you're going to Bears Raiders, we'll be at Stadium Swim. Thank you very much. Our guests today were Mark Grody, they were Boomer Esiason, and they were Patrick Manley. Connor O'Donnell runs our Twitch chat and video stream. Thank you, sir. I'm actually off tomorrow. I'll be back on Wednesday. So you get to talk to Habarkish.
Oh, I get to pick your bone with Habarkish.
I will let you pick your own bone. I've got nothing. Thank I got you. No beef with Hub this week, except he'll probably want Andy Dalton to be the week 6 starter or something for the Bears. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day.
I'll tell you what, guys. I'm not surprised.
No, he's never surprised.
I'm not surprised by anything.
He's seen everything. That was a good hump. Mark Grody is coming up next. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
All right. Thank God that's over. I got a headache. All right. So anyway, I got to be honest, Bill. That's just too much. That's over the